Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Railway Hub podcast. My name's Ben. I've got some very exciting news because we've got a really interesting rail story today for you to listen to. This is a podcast for me and my colleague Shannon, recorded as an attempt to kind of learn more about railways and trains, because even though we work at one of the biggest rail publishers in the country, we actually don't know that much about trains. So we started recording these podcasts as kind of a way to teach ourselves about trains and learn more. But this episode in particular focuses on a murder in a rail carriage in the Victorian era. It's really interesting. It's about a woman called Miss Rhoda King, and yeah, I think you're going to really enjoy it. And if you do enjoy it, then stay tuned, because we're sure to have more interesting rail stories like this coming soon. And if you haven't already, go to www.therailwayhub.co.uk for loads of interesting rail features and stories.
I think I'm hoping you'll enjoy this, Charlie, because it's a bit of a kind of like a true crime story, but from 100 years ago.
I love a bit of true crime. I always listen to those sort of podcasts and watching the shows. I don't know why they're so popular. They're just so interesting to learn about. So
I know there's a weird kind of fascination, I think. But I think like the good thing about this story is that a lot of true crime podcasts, it almost feels like there's a mystery where you don't know what's happened. Mm. With this story, we actually know everything that went down.
Oh, right.
Yeah, almost like...
We don't know who the culprit was. Is it that sort of thing?
Well, we'll find out.
Oh. I'm intrigued.
No, it's an interesting story that happened in 1901. And I think basically we'll go through it kind of step by step and just tell the story. So it was Thursday the 17th of January 1901, and Mrs. Rhoda King boarded the 11:20 a.m. London and Southwestern train from Southampton to Waterloo. So that's the train route for anyone who wants to know that. So Miss Rhoda King, her husband was a printer in Southampton, and she was on her way to London to visit a sick relation. Right. So she was going from Southampton, where she lived with her husband, to visit this relation. Yep. So also boarding the train, but at a later stop in Eastleigh, was George Parker. And he joined Rhoda King in her carriage. So there was just the two of them sat in this carriage together at this point.
Right.
Unbeknownst to her, he had a gun in his pocket.
A clue.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
it's got very Agatha Christie vibes. Never say your name right.
Yeah. So yeah, George Parker, the man with the gun. That sounds like a good book name as well, actually. The man with the gun.
Yeah.
he was a 23-year-old former Marine turned petty thief. Mm-hmm. And so he joined the Carriage River, and then further along the route again at Winchester, the two of them were joined in the compartment by William Pearson. He was an affluent farmer.
So,
at this point, the three of them are now all in this compartment together.
Right.
So as the train approached Surbiton.
Is it Sudbury?
No, it's a place I've never even heard of called Surbiton.
Oh, all right. Never heard of it either.
I'm just hoping that I haven't researched that wrong. This actually is it's like Southampton or something. I've just typed it really weirdly.
No, I'm sure it's right. We'll go with that.
Yeah. If not, we've made a town in this true crime story. Yeah, so at this town, Surbiton, George Parker, the former Marine with the gun, left the compartment and went to the lavatory, which was kind of like right next to their compartment.
Unfortunate.
So meanwhile, Pearson and Rhoda King, they were both still in the compartment, and mm-hmm. Pearson was apparently catching some rest whilst Rhoda was staring out the window at the scenery. Mm-hmm. So Pearson was basically asleep at this point. Suddenly, they were interrupted by gunshots.
Oh.
And Rhoda, she turns around to see that George Parker has re-entered the carriage and shot William Pearson. And he's just like basically shot dead instantly.
Yeah.
Then this bit really made me cringe. so one of the gunshots actually hit Rhoda King in her face and kind of like went past her like cheekbone.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh.
So yes, Pearson, he dies instantly. Apparently the bullet entered his eye. That's a gory detail that the Times newspaper felt was necessary to put in this. And Mrs. King, she was hit at the cheek, and the bullet fragmented within her cheekbone. It's just,
ouch.
So after in the immediate aftermath, she starts like quizzing George, why has he done this? You know, so he's shot this guy and just basically stayed in the carriage.
She's got the bullet.
Yeah, so she's like basically bleeding, and yeah. it sounds basically like she's entered a fight or flight mode, and she's just gone like, right, I'm gonna take control of this situation as much as I can, which is really commendable.
Yeah.
So she asks him why he did this. And apparently George Parker answered that he did it for the money. He needs some money. Have you got any money? she actually gives him a shilling from her purse, and he just, you know, accepts that. And apparently gave her a handkerchief for the, because mm-hmm. she was like bleeding quite heavily at this point, and he gave her a handkerchief to like take this blood up. Apparently George Parker, he was short of money. And he'd only been able to buy a ticket as far as Winchester, which is like, you know, a couple of stops behind where they've got to now. So like, a lot of the literature and stuff seems to imply that they think the motive for him shooting Pearson was just for money. He needed to pay his rail ticket.
Bit dramatic.
Yeah.
Ask for a shilling.
Exactly. He could have begged people, or I don't know, like there's so many other...
Anything but that.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Even if you get to the point where you decide you're going to use a gun and threaten people, he could have asked Pearson for the money. He probably would have given it to him.
That's a bit insane.
Yeah, definitely. I think there are other motives that kind of come up later on, so we might look into that. So he was worried he was going to be fined for not having the correct fare, and had apparently decided to rob one of his fellow travellers. This is one of the theories, at least. And William Pearson seemed a suitable candidate because he was like a farmer. I think he was probably dressed quite nicely. Like it was clear he had money. However, apparently Parker searched Pearson's pockets and couldn't find any money. He did take a couple of his belongings, though, a cigar case and a purse. And apparently he even offered some of Pearson's belongings to Miss Rhoda King. Yeah.
Wow.
That's the weird thing. Like, as this story goes on, they develop a sort of strange relationship as they're both stuck in this compartment together. So King, she's quite disturbed by what's happened. She actually asked Pearson to cover Miss Pearson, she was quite disturbed by these events, and she actually asked Parker to cover Pearson's face for a handkerchief. She then like pleaded for her life. He didn't seem to kind of respond too much. So she tried to just calm him down by talking to him instead. And this is all meanwhile, you know, she's actually been like properly injured.
Yeah.
So apparently Parker told her that he was planning to go to Liverpool, and from there he wanted to go to South Africa. So one of the theories is that he had a girlfriend in South Africa,
right,
and that's where he was trying to get to. So maybe that part of this, you know, fear of not being able to get to the end of the journey was because he was just so desperate to try and get out of the country.
Yeah.
So at this point, he begins wondering what he should do with the gun, and he says he might actually place it in Pearson's hand to make it look like he'd killed himself. Yeah, it's getting quite like, I mean, he's already killed the guy.
Yeah.
So Rhoda, she suggests to Parker, why don't you throw the gun out the window? And apparently that is what he then did. And then as the train approached the end of the journey, Parker climbed out, jumped onto the platform, and he basically threatened King and said, stay quiet, like, or else I'll hurt you, and I'm just going to try and get away now. And he's actually taken Pearson's ticket with him, because apparently this is what confused me, because they said that he needed it to get out of the station.
Yeah,
and it's funny because I was picturing like one of those like turnstile things where you like actually put your ticket in and it like scans it.
Yeah, like the electric ones. Yeah.
Yeah, but I guess it would have been like an actual person, just like
the
machine big. Yeah, he's got his he's stolen someone's Oyster card, he's using that to get out.
You shouldn't laugh, but it's funny to imagine.
Yeah,
he's gonna go and top it up at the machine. I'll be back in two takes.
So he's threatened King and he's asked her to stay quiet, but being the kind of brave person she is, she, even though she's on the verge of collapsing, she opens the door and shouts like to the anyone nearby that this guy is escaping.
Yeah.
And at this point, he'd apparently already got through the ticket barrier. And he was then pursued and eventually cornered in the South Metropolitan Gas Company's gasworks nearby, which sounds like the end of a film, like running into a kind of cool kind of area like that, I think.
Yeah.
He was eventually taken to Larkhall Lane Police Station. Mm-hmm. And when he was interviewed, he apparently said about Rhoda that he wished he had killed the woman, and then I should have got away with, he would have got away with it if he'd killed her, basically.
Why does it sound like a Scooby-Doo sketch?
I know, it really does. Like,
if it wasn't for you meddling kids.
I would have got away with it.
Awful.
Meanwhile, King, she was taken to hospital for treatment. She remained there for 8 days afterwards.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Pearson was pronounced dead as he had died from his injuries. The railway line was searched, and they actually managed to find the gun that they threw out the window. When they apprehended Parker, they found Pearson's items on him, so this like cigar case, the purse.
Bye.
So they'd really like properly got all of the evidence they needed to convict him. And he was eventually charged with the murder of Pearson and the attempted murder of Rhoda herself. He attempted to plead not guilty, but with the overwhelming evidence, he was convicted and actually executed 3 weeks after that. And that was carried out on the 19th of March in Wandsworth. Rhoda herself, she gave evidence at his trial, and it's kind of like a nice ending for her because she lived to the age of 89 and died in 1935. But like, I just figured, like, especially like after everything she went through, like in this situation, like she could have so easily have been killed by this like maniac.
She then, kind of incredible how well she held it together from what you said. That she tried to calm him down and, you know, and like told him to throw the gun out the window. It's been incredibly smart and brave to be able to go through that.
Yeah. And I think it's clever how she, by suggesting things like, you know, you should throw the gun out the window and giving him a bit of money, it's almost like it feels like she was trying to build trust with him. So that when he eventually decides to go out of the carriage, he almost sort of trusts her to stay quiet.
Yeah.
And then she just like snaps and gets gets him convicted.
She's a smart lady.
Yeah. It's really, really impressive. This story kind of got to our attention because we'd visited the National Railway Museum at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And they had this replica of the compartment that they were all staying in.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yes, but it was a scale model replica, and they'd built it for the trial to kind of show the logistics of the room and how the murder went down. So this replica, you can actually see this at the Railway Museum if you go and visit. So that's a little plug for them.
You're welcome.
Yeah, and that's how we'd found the story, and it just feels like it's ripe for some kind of like film or book or something. I feel like
I think everyone knows about like Murder on the Orient Express and stories like that. There's loads of true crime stuff relating to trains that I think that has been made into novels and whatnot, and obviously there's lots of real ones as well, like we've just spoken about, and it is really interesting actually. Just for fans of true crime and trains, I guess. Although it's not something to really, you know, laugh about or anything. It is a horrible thing, but it's just, I don't know, it's just true crime is just a very interesting thing.
Just
to dissect, think about the people who are in those situations and how they dealt with it, like is it Rhoda King? There's tons of stories, so I'm sure there's plenty more we can find as well.
Yeah. What do you think his motivation was purely for money, or do you think maybe he was, I don't know, what do you think?
You've got to be seriously, I mean, anyone who commits murder or does anything like atrocious like that is seriously unhinged. But doing it for a shilling, I mean, it seems quite drastic. I suppose if they're that desperate to get out of the country, I mean, you mentioned that he had a partner in, was it South Africa or South?
Yeah.
South Africa. It just seems just too drastic for there not to be another reason. Like possibly maybe like he was trying to get away from something before that, or
it would be interesting
to hear the true story.
I think someone had a theory that he actually knew Pearson and this was all a deliberate thing, like a deliberate attempt to, you know, to murder him.
So like a plot.
Yeah. But I think that felt like definitely untrue.
Because
I think Parker gets on the train before Pearson, so like he would have to have known that Pearson was going to be getting on the train at this particular point. I don't know, it just seems a bit far-fetched.
Yeah, and if you were going to do something like that, why would you do it in such a public place and so suddenly?
That's true.
Or any other way, I don't know, it just wouldn't make sense for him to commit revenge of some kind or whatever reason it may have been in front of another person as well.
But definitely.
I guess we'll never know for sure.
Yeah, but that's the weird thing as well, is that if his motivation was purely just to get money or get a ticket to get out of the train station, he would have, like, I'm sure that whatever the punishment for, I guess like freeloading a train journey, whatever the punishment is for that would definitely be a lot less than murder.
Yeah.
So just, I don't know, it's a very weird logic thing there where it doesn't seem to add up. But then like maybe he had some kind of like mental problem, or you know, they said he was a former Marine, so maybe, you know, fighting in a war or something might have affected his mind, or maybe it just was pure, just an evil person.
We'll never know for sure, but I mean, it's an interesting story regardless. It's a shame we'll never know what the real motivation was, but say it's fun to theorise, but it's, you know, it's part of the intrigue of these stories, because like nitpicking in between like the plot and trying to understand the people involved is kind of, you know, the interesting part of it.
Yeah, I agree.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.